الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Peace be upon all of you. One of the things that we as young people oftentimes eagerly anticipate and wish and dream for when we're young is to arrive at that stage and age in our lives when we're completely independent and completely self-sufficient. We want to throw back those days and those years of being dependent on other people. But in all of that, there is a danger, in fact. There is a danger in our search for self-sufficiency and independence in forgetting those who we were completely dependent upon when we were very young. One of the things the Quran calls great attention to and the Prophet made much mention of, peace be upon him, is the responsibility that we owe and the debt that we owe to our parents. In the Quran, for example, Allah, God, he says that he has enjoined upon man to be dutiful to his parents. His mother bore him with struggle, weaning him, laboring after him, exerting her effort for him, with the toil after a toil, with the travail after travail. And the child was completely dependent on his mother for a good period of 2 years. So Allah then says, so thank me, who of course created you and your mother and made that situation possible in the first place. Allah says, thank me and thank your parents. To me is the final end or the destination or the journey. In another verse in the Quran, Allah said that he has enjoined upon man, or God has ordained that you worship only him and that you show goodness and kindness to your parents. And so the verse then commands us that if your parents reach old age, not to even say the word uff to them, not to get fed up with them or tired with them, and do not hold them in scorn or reprimand them, but simply say, but say a good word unto them. And Allah says that lower the wings of humility unto them out of mercy for them and say this as a prayer that my Lord have mercy on them as they tended to me and cherished me when I was very young. And it's a beautiful collection of verses from the Quran, and it teaches us as Muslims and as human beings the responsibility that we owe and the debt that we owe to our parents because we were dependent on them. And now just because we've arrived at the age of independence and self-sufficiency, it gives us no excuse to forget that debt that we owe upon them. It's amazing, interesting, in fact, how the Prophet's companions, may Allah be pleased with all of them, acted out this great injunction in the Quran and how they learned this level of mercy and compassion from the Prophet himself, peace be upon him. One of his great companions called Abu Huraira was someone, interestingly enough, who had a difficult time with his mother. She delayed in becoming a Muslim. She wasn't very interested. And she was happy to stick to her pagan and false practices in the beginning. And on one occasion, he went and he complained to the Prophet about her and says, please pray for my mother that she becomes a Muslim. And the Prophet immediately raised his hands and says, oh Allah, guide the mother of this individual, Abu Huraira. By the time he returned home, his mother had become a Muslim, in fact, in his absence. And it was a miracle, a proof of the prophethood of the Prophet, peace be upon him. But the beautiful thing in the relationship between mother and child, between mother and son in this case, is the fact that whenever Abu Huraira would meet and greet his mother, he would say, Assalamu alayki ya umata wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be upon you, my dear and beloved mother, and the mercy of Allah and His blessings upon you. Rahimakillah kama rabbaytani saghira. May Allah have mercy on you because of how you tended to me and cherished me when I was young. And in reciprocating that great love, she would then say, wa alaykas salam ya bunay wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. And may Allah have mercy on you, my beloved son, and may His peace and blessings be upon you also, and His mercy and blessings on you also. Rahimakallah kama barartani kabira. May Allah have mercy on you because of how you're looking after me now that I'm old. And it's a beautiful illustration of the rights and responsibilities, and in fact the relationship that should exist between the mother and the child. The Prophet was extremely concerned about that. He was concerned, in fact, a man once asked him, what is the best deed? What is the most beloved deed or action to Allah? And the Prophet said it is to pray on time. That is the most beloved action to Allah. And then the man said, well, what next then? And then the Prophet said, birrul walidain, to show goodness to your parents is the next best action. And then the man said, what next? And he said, struggling in the cause of God is the best action after that. It isn't exclusive, in fact, to the mother, but it also extends to the father. Both of them. That is the injunction in the Quran. And so we find some interesting illustrations of that. In one occasion, for example, the Prophet's one of his companions noticed an individual who was walking towards him, and behind him was another individual who was older in age. And so he asked the first one, who is this person? من هذا الذي معك? Who is this one with you but behind you? He's with you but behind you. And the man said, he's my father. And he was completely astonished and bewildered. And he said, if he's your father, then out of respect for him, do not walk in front of him. And do not sit before he sits. And do not call him by his first name. Just out of simple respect for him. In another instance, a Prophet's companion was riding a camel and he was wearing a turban, and it was a very hot day in Medina, and a man walked past, and he immediately got off his camel and he took off his turban and he put it on the man's head and he said, ride this camel. And the man's companions and friends, his entourage, were quite amazed. Why would he do something like that? And so he said to them, I did this because indeed I heard from the Prophet himself, peace be upon him, that it is from the essence of piety. It is from real piety that you show goodness to the friends of your father after your father has passed away. And the beautiful thing about this tradition is the fact that this man was not simply the friend of this man's father. He was the son of the friend of the father. And so it shows, therefore, how far the Prophet's companions extended this injunction of the Prophet, peace be upon him. There are so many other examples. One of them, my favorite ones, in fact, is on this occasion when a man came to Ibn Umar, this Prophet's very close companion, and he said to him, look, I carried my mother on my back or on my shoulders for the pilgrimage to Mecca, for the Hajj. And she's old and she's frail and she's weak and she's unable to do it by herself. And so I facilitated that for her. I carried her on my back, on my shoulders. And he then said to him, Atarani jazaytuha. Do you think I've now paid her back? Have I fulfilled my obligation and rights upon her by doing that for her? I understand, of course, that she did so much for me when I was young and small and she looked after me, but now I've done something back for her. I've done that as an action to almost recompense and pay her back. Do you think that is enough? And Ibn Umar, he turned to this man, he looked him in the eyes and he said, look, وَلَا طَلْقَةً وَاحِدًا. Not even for one contraction have you paid your mother back. Not even for one contraction during her pregnancy, the pain of labor, have you paid your mother back. There is no way you could ever do that. And this is why it's so important for us to remember that, and to remember that the great responsibility we have on our parents to make sure that they are properly maintained and fed and clothed, just like they cared for us and fed and clothed us during our days of infancy. In fact, in the Quran, there is a verse that pertains to spending, and it relates to a question that the Prophet's companions asked the Prophet. يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ. They ask you, what should we spend our money on? And you might think it's good to spend on this and that and this and that, but in the Quran, Allah says that everything, say, whatever you spend of good should be for. The first group of people are your parents, and your near of kin, and the orphans, and the poor, and everything of good you spend, Allah is aware of it. So the first group that Allah identifies in this verse that pertains to spending money is in fact your parents. And in the age of consumerism, when we think, of course, that we should spend money on ourselves to satisfy our own needs and interests, Allah turns our attention towards our parents. But don't forget the responsibility you have towards them to spend on them. And so in this time of pseudo-independence and self-sufficiency, we should remember as Muslims and as people never to overstep the mark and the limit. In the Quran, Allah says, and indeed man, he transgresses the limits when he sees himself to be self-sufficient and independent. We should be of those who remember the great obligation we owe to our parents for the many great things they've done for us when we've been young, and not to now undermine them and to act in haste and with heedlessness towards our older years when they have also aged. We should remember to care for them and respect and love them, and never to abuse them, and never to reprimand and scold them, but to always wish the best for them and to help them and assist them. May Allah make us of those who are like this, and to be the best of children, and the best of parents, and the best of Muslims all the time.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. One of the things that Allah in the Quran reminds the Prophet of, peace be upon him, is with these words. It's about his origins, and Allah says about him that has he not found you an orphan and then given you shelter, and found you lost and then guided you along the way, and found you in want and in need and provided for you sufficiently. And then Allah gives the Prophet some instructions about that, reminding him first about his origins, his basic origins, and then telling him what that should transform into, how that turns into something that is active and real. And Allah says then, so as for the orphan, never wrong him. You should never wrong an orphan, and you should never turn away someone who comes to ask for you. And it's in fact a very beautiful verse in the Quran, set of verses in the Quran, that Allah is reminding the Prophet about his origin. He himself in the beginning was an orphan, and he was in need, and then he was given sufficiently. And so then that should transform into something active within him, that he should be generous to the orphan, and he should be someone who is charitable. In fact, the verse in the Quran, the verses pertain to all of us, every single one of us. We remember our own states before we were blessed or privileged with a new job or a new house or a new car or some new found money, perhaps. And we look back and we think, I was once upon a time like this, or I was like that. What responsibility do we have then to others? Now, of course, that we have a lot to give. The Prophet instructed us with charity. In fact, he loved the orphans tremendously. And on one occasion, he raised his two fingers and he said that the one who tends to an orphan and me will be like these two fingers, just like the proximity of these two fingers in paradise. And a man, in fact, came and he was complaining about the hardness of his heart. And the Prophet said to him, do you want that your heart becomes soft and that your needs are met, your needs are fulfilled? And the man said, of course I would want that. And then the Prophet said to him, well, then have mercy on the orphan and wipe over his head and feed him from your own food. And Allah, God, will soften your heart and He will fulfill your needs. It's a very beautiful hadith. This is one, in fact, example of social justice in Islam, how Islam encourages and promotes for us to look to those who are less privileged and to those who don't actually have as much, and how we should care and care for them and protect them. The Prophet loved children. He spoke so many times about the mercy that is incumbent from parents and guardians and protectors and all society toward children. On one occasion, in fact, he was kissing his grandchildren, Hassan and Hussein. May Allah be pleased with both of them. And a man came in, and he was from a harsh tribe, and he says to the Prophet, you know, I have 10 children and I haven't kissed any one of them. And the Prophet says to him, he who does not show mercy then will not be shown mercy. And in one variation of this hadith, the Prophet said to this man, you know, if Allah has taken mercy out of your heart, then I cannot put it back into your heart. Showing us then that we should be people of love and mercy for those who are weak and those who are small. In one specific hadith, the Prophet mentioned that whoever does not show respect to our elderly and have mercy on our young people, youngsters, is not actually one of us. And so in so many occasions, he overlooked and forgave the elderly for mistakes they might make. On one very famous occasion, when an old man was in the Prophet's mosque and he urinated, in fact, in the Prophet's mosque, not knowing the regulations that pertain to that mosque. And the Prophet did not scold him, he did not rebuke him, did not reprimand him, in fact, strictly. He did not shout at him or abuse him or make him feel inferior and weak. The Prophet simply called someone to bring some water and wash over that area. And then he turned to his people and he said, this is a place of purity. It should not We do not urinate in this place or create mess in this place. It's a place of worship and prayer. And then when the man went back in his line in the row in the mosque, he said, look how amazing the Prophet was in that he did not rebuke or reprimand or scold me. Islam gives a lot of precedence to children and to the weak and to the orphans and to all kinds of people. We do not discriminate, in fact, between people. In the Prophet's last sermon, he spoke about the ill effects of racism, and he spoke about the fact that there is no superiority of a black over a white and no superiority of a white over a black person, and that everyone is equal in the eyes of God except by one degree alone, and that degree, of course, is a degree of piety and closeness to God. So with regards then the weak, and with regards the elderly and the infirm and children, and even extending to animals, the Prophet was once upon a time walking the streets and a bird began to flutter her wings erratically above him. And the Prophet knew, of course, the bird was in some distress, and so he stopped his people and he turned to them and he says, well, why is this bird behaving erratically like this? And one man, in fact, had taken an egg from the nest of this bird. And the Prophet instructed that companion to return the egg to that nest and taught him, why would you want to deprive this mother of her child? So care, therefore, of the orphans, of the poor, of the weak, of those who are victims of injustice, of those who are elderly, of those who are in difficulty. Islam promotes that we care for all of them, and Islam maintains a very strong ethos of social justice. In fact, one of the Prophet's companions, who in fact was a Jew, a rabbi in Medina, when he first arrived in Medina, he said that the first thing I heard the Prophet say was, "Afshu salam," go and spread the salam, go and spread the peace amongst people, and feed them, wa aqimu ta'am, wa silul arham, and join the ties of kinship, and free the prisoners of war, and pray in the night when the people are asleep, and you will enter paradise in peace. So Islam emphasizes social justice, that we should look out for one another, that we should care and protect each other, that we should care for those who are weak and who are on the fringes of human society. And so Islam then promotes justice and holds injustice very abhorrent, even with regards to children. For example, a man once came to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and he wanted the Prophet to bear witness to the fact that the man had just bought a servant for his son. And the Prophet first asked him a question and said, did you buy a servant for each of your children or only that son? And the man said, no, only for this one son. And the Prophet said, well, go and approach somebody else then and ask him to be a witness to your purchase, because I will not be a witness to an injustice. So he equated that then with injustice, because it's not fair. There should be a state of equality between all of your children. And like that, the Prophet says in one specific hadith, in one narration, that beware of injustice, because that is darkness on the day. That is darknesses on the day of judgment. And there is also a specific tradition from the Prophet to Allah, where Allah in fact says, O my servants, I have forbidden injustice upon myself, and I have made the same forbidden amongst you. Do not be unjust towards one another, but rather be just. In the Quran, Allah commands all of us, O you who believe, instructing all of the Muslim men and women, be steadfast and be straight, and be upholders of truth and justice, even if that is against yourself, and if it's against your parents, your mother and your father, and your near of kin, your relatives, whether they be wealthy or whether they are poor. But rather, God is more important than all of them. So rather, to please God, therefore, be just in all of your dealings. Do not cheat, do not lie, do not bribe others. Do not be extortionate in your pricing. Do not transgress upon the rights of other people, not in your marriages and in your homes, domestic situations with your children. The Prophet never struck a child. The Prophet always spoke with mercy. The Prophet would go and meet the children and rub their faces out of a sense of mercy and kindness towards them. We should create a world like that in our communities, and do not be unjust in your marital relationships and be unjust at all societal levels. And so Allah commands, be just, i'dilu, and that is closest to piety. And we should also be warned, in fact, of the prayer of the one who is oppressed. In fact, the Prophet said that between that person and Allah, between the prayer of that person and Allah, there is no veil. Meaning Allah will hear the prayer of the one who is oppressed. May Allah bless us with a world of justice and a world of fair dealing between all of us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.